We're going to take a quick change in gears now from talking about the relationship between soil and air quality issues and atmospheric issues to soil and water quality issues. My PhD research was conducted in Delaware, part of the Delmar Peninsula, here in the Mid-Atlantic Coastal Plain region of the United States. And you can see that the Delmarva Peninsula is bordered by the Chesapeake Bay on one side and the Atlantic Ocean on the other side. And in this region, non-point source pollution of our surface waters is an important issue, as it is all over the country and world right now. And if you look at this map, you can see that while nitrogen is a problem in our surface waters, phosphorus is a great concern, and many a higher percentage of our surface waters are impacted with phosphorus. So that's what I'll be focusing on for the remainder of this talk. Coastal plain landscape is relatively flat, so a major concern is not erosion from runoff. So there is erosion. It won't be what you'd see in more undulating landscapes. And when you think coastal, you generally think sandy soils. But here, you'll see that from a relatively small precipitation event, we have ponded water on the surface. And from larger precipitation events, you can have flooded fields. So much so that, as you can see in the foreground of this photo, the agricultural land is ditch drained. And to continue agricultural productivity in the region, the landscape is extensively ditch drained. So when we're talking about non-point source pollution, one of the common best management practices is vegetated filter strips. If you have a landscape that's so extensively ditch drained, so your crop land is bisected by these ditches, if you were to have to put a filter strip along all of this land, you'd be losing a lot of agricultural land. So the question is, can we determine where filter strips are going to be most efficient? And one of the mechanisms for making this determination is through modeling. Therefore, the objective of this part of my research is to see if a riparian ecosystem management model that is used can be used to model nutrient transport through full riparian buffers, but in my case I use it just for vegetated filter strips, can actively describe phosphorus transport with the equations that it currently uses, which are based on the EPIC model, and to determine if I can tailor this model specifically to coastal plain soils. Because as you saw in the previous talk, where soils are so varied among the country and among the world, do these equations that were built for EPIC, that were based on the research done on hundreds of different soils, if we're looking just at coastal plain soils, do those equations still hold? Right, so here is how phosphorus is modeled within REM. You have two organic phosphorus pools, the residue and the humus pool, and then one inorganic section. And the inorganic phosphorus is then further broken down into labile, active, and stable pools. Traditionally, an iron oxide strip extraction, which is considered bioavailable phosphorus, is used to predict the labile P pool, and then from that, equations are used to predict the active and stable pool. For the purposes of my research, I found that I could actually directly measure the active and stable pool, the labile P pool I used that iron oxide strip extraction for, and I found that the active pool is equal to the malic 3 phosphorus extraction, which is our agronomic soil test, and that the stable P pool is equal to twice an oxalate extraction. Now, with any good modeling study, you have a field study that goes along with it. My field study was conducted in Georgetown, Delaware, which, if you're interested, there's more information on that in a poster downstairs. But quickly, I installed surface runoff equipment and shallow meter and a half groundwater monitoring wells, and planted a cool season grass mixture filter strips. And while I was installing the groundwater monitoring wells, I collected the soil in 15 centimeter increments through the meter and a half profile. And this is really important to look at, because when you see here, our coastal plain soils are generally sandy, but with an argillic horizon. And that's why the landscape must be ditch drained, because you get this perched groundwater table during precipitation events that can lead to ponded water on the surface for prolonged periods. And that ditch drainage really helps, obviously, move the water from the landscape. But the phosphorus profile, we have the phosphorus really just saturating that top layer of soil. And here I'm showing you the iron oxide strip values, which is what's used for REM's labile pea pool. REM partitions the vegetative filter strip into three soil layers. And therefore, when I was parameterizing the model, I had to decide whether I was going to determine what those soil layers are based on hydrology and the soil structure, or whether I was going to use the phosphorus content of the soil, since what I really want to look at is that phosphorus transport. And I decided to use the phosphorus gradient. Now, what that does is provide me with a high phosphorus surface soil and the lower phosphorus subsoils, as we see occurring anyway, but it is homogenizing the soil profile in terms of structure. So instead of having a high clay horizon and then going back to sandy soils, the whole bottom soil layer in REM is a sandy clay loam. So that's just important to keep in mind. Now, I measured groundwater phosphorus in my wells weekly over the course of a year. And what's very interesting to note is that during rainfall events, or immediately after rainfall events, the dissolved phosphorus in the wells increased, and so there were spike events. But generally, the average concentration is right here around 0.1 milligrams per liter. The REM model shows the same fluctuation of phosphorus with water table depth, though instead of having that average concentration at 1.1 milligram per liter, it's closer to 0.3, 0.35. So what's REM doing? REM is partitioning phosphorus in the labile pool between sorbed and dissolved phases based on the Langmuir equation using clay, carbon, and pH. Now, this may be what was accurate for all soils across many textures and many different characteristics, but I want to see, is this how to predict phosphorus absorption in coastal plain soils? So I did an absorption study on vegetative filter strip soils around the state of Delaware and found that I could fit lines to my absorption data very nicely. So can I predict those lines? And I found that, yes, I could predict those lines well, but not using clay, carbon, and pH, instead using that Mallet 3 extraction, which again is our agronomic soil test extraction, and looking at aluminum, Mallet 3 phosphorus, and that phosphorus saturation ratio, which is the molar ratio of phosphorus to iron and aluminum in the soil. So we took some time and we changed the equations in REM, and what we found is where the old equations were showing much greater spikes and fluctuations due to precipitation events, and where the values were closer to 0.4 milligrams per liter, these new equations had much shorter spikes, so they wasn't showing as much of an increased concentration due to these precipitation events, and was statistically significantly lower, right? So here we have about 0.25 to 0.3 milligrams per liter as an average concentration. Now, That's closer, but we're not quite there. So we have our measured values and the previous predictions and our new predictions. And what's really important to look at here is that even though we're getting closer in these values, the homogenizing of this whole bottom layer in REM, you're losing some of the fluctuations in soil concentrations that you would find in reality in the soil. And so improving these phosphorus cycling equations is helping, though there may be more that we can do. Right? So the existing equations in REM are absolutely over-predicting the subsurface dissolved phosphorus transport, and so it's a good idea for us to improve those predictions, and that relating the p-sorption and desorption to our agronomic soil test values of malic phosphorus, Na3 phosphorus aluminum, and the p-saturation ratio is improving what we're predicting, but we have, you know, a little bit more to go. But this can definitely help make REM be more appropriate for use in the Mid-Atlantic coastal plain region. And with that, I'll let you look at my kids. Yeah. No, they're not.
I don't know if you could try to collapse terms, but that just makes things more complicated and not accomplish anything.
It's interesting because if I was going to collapse the terms, I would take the PSR out and just leave the aluminum in. Because when I was looking at the different properties to try and relate to phosphorus sorption, the iron component of PSR is not significant for these soils. Only the aluminum was, but the PSR itself, I figure having the malil-free phosphorus and the aluminum there, you would think would make it so that the PSR wouldn't be significant as well, but it improved the model prediction, so we left it.